You know what's not going to make you wealthy?
Hacks,
shortcuts, overworking, not charging enough, having client meetings all over your schedule, worrying about all these little tiny tax write-offs, like whether you can write off your dog as a business expense. Story time coming about a TikTok video I saw this morning that really irritated me in a few. Even, you know, these latest fads like master resale rights, faceless Instagram accounts, these things are not going to make you wealthy. You know what does make you wealthy? Making money and saving and investing money, preferably in a way that also allows you to enjoy your life along the way. So today in the podcast, what we're going to talk about is how to create wealth, how to grow your bank account. So I've been doing a series. The first week, a couple weeks ago, we did an episode on growing your business. Then we talked about growing your profits. Today, we're talking about growing your bank account because these are the three themes of what I have created inside of the High Profit Society, which is my all new, coming very, very soon community for female business owners who want to grow their businesses in a way that's profitable and sustainable so that you can truly create financial freedom or wealth. You are here today listening to the Profit and Prosper podcast, the podcast that empowers female entrepreneurs to make more money, become financially independent, and live prosperously. I'm your host, Sarah Young, a seven-figure agency owner and business and wealth coach who's worked with hundreds of entrepreneurs to create more profitable, sustainable businesses. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you heard me talk about the other accounting firm that we bought last summer to roll into Young & Co. And a couple weeks ago, I took a trip down to that office in Florida. Side note, I know I went off a little. I mentioned tax hacks, tax write-offs in that little intro section, but I do now have a legitimate tax write-off for making a trip to a really, really nice place down in St. Petersburg, Florida. So there are worse things. Anyways, I went down there a few weeks ago and was doing some client meetings. And what I was doing was going over some things with some of the clients down there. Our existing clients at Young & Co. from before the acquisition, pretty much all of them were in or are in the build phase of wealth creation. They're mostly younger, on the younger side, not mostly brand new, but you know, haven't been necessarily running businesses for decades, at least not most of our clients. So they're in the build phase of wealth creation, meaning they're actively saving and investing. They're working on building up their net worth. On the flip side, a lot of the clients in Florida, just partly because of the firm we bought, partly because of the demographics there, they are a little bit older. They've been running their businesses longer. They have more money in the bank, and some of them are already retired. Some of them will be retired soon. What I thought was interesting, though, is there's quite a lot of clients down there who are in the preservation phase of their wealth, meaning they've already built it, and now they're living off of it. They're working to just preserve it so they can live through retirement. And I had meetings with multiple different clients who are making in retirement or in, you know, their 50s and 60s, they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in passive income and in investment income. And it was just really interesting to look at their returns because I noticed some trends. So we're going to talk about the trends that I noticed across those clients. Like, these are things that we probably all already know, but just to see it for me so clearly written down, like on their tax returns, seeing all of their stuff pulled together and all their documents, it just really drove home the overall need of a strategy that we all need to have a wealth strategy, right? We need to start executing on our wealth strategies ASAP, because the sooner we start executing on these strategies, the faster you're going to reach financial freedom. So I'm going to talk about the trends that I saw on those tax returns there so you can get a sense of like, what does it actually look like when you're making multi-six in some cases? I think the biggest one that I saw when I was down there was about $850,000 of taxable income. That's just taxable income. They made more than that, y'all. It just wasn't all taxable. I'm going to talk about the trends that I saw and how you can take that and apply that to your own life and business, okay? But first, let me talk about a TikTok video. So I was scrolling TikTok this morning, or maybe it was last night, as you do. I saw this video come up. I'm actually going to pull it up. I'm pulling it up on my phone because I took a screenshot of it. I wanted to remember it. I'm probably going to do, when I have time later, I'm going to do like a stitch on this because I have so many things to say. But it was this person who is a personal finance education type account, has a lot of followers. This video had, at the time I saw it, like 400,000 likes, so millions of views probably. The headline or the hook on the TikTok video was, "Rich people write dogs off on their taxes, so can you." And that just really irritated me for so many reasons. The reason I bring it up is just sort of this juxtaposition of what do rich people actually give a shit about versus what people who aren't rich, poor people, frankly, what do poor people think that rich people give a shit about? They're not the same. And I mean that with all the love in the world. I'm feeling a little spicy today. I'm going to tell you from working with clients who are rich, whether they have a lot of money built up in the bank yet or not, they don't care about writing dogs off on their tax returns. In fact, a lot of the clients that we work with probably wouldn't want to do it because they know that this seems really sketchy and it increases their likelihood of being audited by the IRS, which they don't want, okay? Not that they would find anything wrong, but it's just a pain to go through an audit, especially when you make a lot of money. They know that, you know, writing your dog off, if it was an actual valid business expense, that it's only going to save like a couple hundred bucks in taxes, and their time is worth way more than that. The time that it would take to keep all of the documentation needed and get it sent over to their accountant, they're like, you know, certainly we have clients who would take the time to do it, but I would say this is coming from me, somebody who has a seven-figure net worth. I just don't care that much, right? Like, a couple hundred bucks to me is not worth the hassle. What I do care about, though, is the overall strategy. I do care about taxes to the extent that it's helping me fuel the flame, right? Saving a couple hundred bucks on your tax return and tax write-offs, like that's great. And also in the big picture, like that's not necessarily what's going to make or break my wealth strategy, right? So I guess what I'm saying is don't get sidetracked by these things that promise to make you rich, that give you the sense of, you know, create wealth. Like all these accounts, I'm going to get a little spicy here. I've just seen so many of these faceless accounts lately, and they're all titled like the same thing. They all use the words passive income, wealth, blah, blah, blah. And then you go look at what they're selling, and they're selling basically quote unquote digital marketing and MRR sorts of things. And y'all, it just drives me nuts because I see people basically putting all this time and energy into something that I just don't think is going to work better than a very simple, straightforward business plan. There's just this promise, right? Of it's so easy, like make some easy money, but like anything worth having in life is just not going to be easy. We want it to be easy. I would love to tell you that, oh yeah, do this and it's going to be easy. We can certainly make things easier for ourselves. We can certainly learn to, you know, take some of the like triggers out of our business. We can take some of the stress out of our businesses, but that in and of itself takes work to make it easy, right? Okay, let me recenter myself a little bit here. So, side note on this video about writing off your dogs on your taxes, just, you know, of course, ask your tax preparer, but like, unless your dog is actually working for you in your business, maybe they're actually guarding your office, maybe you have, I don't know, an auto repair shop and you have a guard dog that lives there. Like that's the kind of dog that's a business expense. We could probably go into some other nuances about like marketing, medical, whatever. But like this is not worth putting a ton of time and energy into this. You're going to end up making things harder for yourself by focusing on the wrong things. So when I have clients who are putting so much energy into trying to like save a couple hundred bucks on their tax bill, for example, but they're not making six figures or more, I'm like, your energy is being put into the wrong place. Okay. So let's talk about where you should put your energy instead to be able to actually build wealth, to grow your bank account. These are the trends that I saw when I went down to the Florida office and I saw a bunch of tax returns. I had a bunch of client meetings. We talked about all these things. These are the trends that I saw. So every client that I met with that had, you know, they had 300, 500, up to like 850,000 was, I think, about the biggest amount of income that I saw on a tax return. Every single one of these people was a business owner. So they either currently had a business that was doing at least high six figures in revenue into seven figures. I think maybe the smallest one was probably like 400,000 or 500,000, but it was highly profitable. So they all had businesses. They were all making multi-six plus figures in revenue. They were netting six figures, well into six figures in profits from their businesses. Some of the clients had previously had businesses that they sold a few years ago, okay? And they sold it for a big chunk of money that they then turned around and put into other investments. So that was trend number one. The second thing I noticed was that they all had anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000 per month in interest and dividends coming in from the various investments that they have. So for you to have interest or dividends showing up on your tax return, that means you have money in a brokerage account, savings accounts, CDs, things like that. Because if you have money in a retirement account, you're not going to get an interest or dividends form that shows up on your tax return. So this is like brokerage account money, money market accounts, whatever, things that would give them interest and dividends. And they had put so much money into these over time that they were making $5,000 per month to $20,000 per month. So that's like $60,000 up to what, $200,000+ a year in interest and dividends alone. This is the definition of passive income, right? You put your money in, you make interest and dividends, you literally do nothing, and you get interest and dividends deposited back into your account. They also had, in addition to interest and dividends, they all also had retirement distributions of at least $50,000 to $200,000 per year. This means that they've also got a lot of money. I don't have their retirement account statements to ask how much do you have in retirement, but if they have, you know, 100,000+ in retirement distributions coming out every year, it's pretty safe to say that they've got well into seven figures in retirement account money, okay? In addition to the money in their brokerage accounts that's giving them interest and dividends. The third thing I noticed was that every single one of these clients also has money in real estate. So they all have some type of rental real estate property. Long-term rentals was what they had. Some of them were residential, some of them were commercial, some of them had both. Several of the ones that I saw, this is actually one of my favorite things, and it's like one of my life goals, is they would have their businesses that they had sold a while back. They also owned the property or currently own the property that their business used. So they sold the business, got a bunch of money for their business. And now they still have the property that they're still getting rent payments from the person who bought their business from them. So they got a lot of money up front for selling the business, and then they're getting monthly rent payments continuously from the person who bought the business. A lot of times I have seen multiple examples where the commercial property that people buy for their businesses over time can be worth as much or more as your actual business. Okay. So they all had rental real estate. And some of them sold some of their properties for a lot of money, but they all pretty much have like multiple properties that if you go through and just add up the tax value alone, which is nowhere near the current fair value of the real estate, if you add up the tax value alone, they all had multi-six figures, some of them into seven figures in basically what they paid for the real estate. And that means that, you know, if they bought this property 10, 20, 30 years ago and kept it, they now have multiple million dollars in value of real estate, which real estate has so many tax advantages. I'm not going to go into all of the tax advantages here, but compared to, you know, the money that's coming to you in the form of interest or dividend payments, real estate has a lot better tax advantages. Okay. Now, arguably, it does take more work to run real estate than to get retirement distributions or interest and dividends, but in my opinion, it's worth the extra work. So the trends I saw, just to recap quickly, they're all business owners making multi-six to seven figures in revenue, and they're making multi-six figures in profits. They have a good chunk of money put into brokerage accounts, saving CDs accounts. These particular clients, they're on the older side, and so they probably will have more money in things like savings accounts that have lower risk than we would if we're on the younger side, but still they have a good chunk of change sitting in those accounts generating interest and dividends for them. They also have retirement accounts, and the other biggest trend I saw that I thought was really interesting was they have multiple real estate properties that they get rental income from on a monthly basis. So what does this mean for you? The message that I want you to take from this episode is that you need to stop playing small. If your goal is truly to create wealth, and in whatever form wealth, whatever that means to you, because wealth can mean different things, usually we want financial freedom and we want time freedom. So since you're listening to me, I'm going to assume that your goal is probably financial freedom and time freedom. And so if that's the case, you have to stop playing small and you have to start thinking bigger. Stop focusing on the $10 decisions. Stop focusing on the $100 decisions and start focusing on the $10,000, $100,000, million-dollar decisions that you need to make. Stop putting so much energy into the day-to-day things in your business that are arguably not what make you the money, right? And start putting more of your time and energy into the big picture things that truly make a difference. And I'm going to guess you know what those things are. You know what you're spending your time on that is not giving you the best return. You know the things that you need to go and implement. And it's just time, okay? When it comes to a wealth strategy, I guess this would be trend number four. None of these clients built this overnight. They didn't build it in 5 years. This was built over the span of decades. So the sooner you get started, the sooner you're going to be able to reap the rewards of all the work you're putting in. I know that most of you listening to this are in your 20s, 30s, 40s. You still have decades of life to live. And so what I don't want us to do is continue staying stuck in these patterns and continuing to do the same things day in and day out and getting the same results. I want us to make more money. I want us to work less, and I want us to be putting a lot of money into savings and investments so that we can create more female millionaires. That's my goal. If you've never thought of yourself, you're like, yes, Sarah, I'm on board. I want this. What do I do? I don't know what's next. Please know that you're not alone, because I feel like it can feel like a lot, right? It can feel like a lot to go from where you are now to being the type of person that has millions of dollars in real estate and, you know, retirement and investments, right? It can feel like a big step. It's not going to happen overnight. So even if you currently think of yourself as not great at money stuff, even if you know that you need to make your business more profitable, you know that you want to grow it, and you're just not sure exactly what your next steps are, please know that these are fixable things. Don't let that hold you back. Literally just today, one of my clients sent a message inside our community group, and she basically said, you know what? I finally realized that I've been feeling busy. I've been feeling like I've been doing the things to grow my business, but I've not actually been making progress. Because she realized that she was self-sabotaging because she has all of these old traumas and old inside wounds of feeling like she's not worthy of the success that she wants. And I was like, okay, great. We've recognized this. That's step one. Step one is just recognizing that you have these patterns and then being open to changing them. And that's what we want to do, okay? So where do we go from here? I am running a challenge next week, the week of April 22nd. Even if you join late, you'll still get all of the replays so you can get caught up. But I'm running a challenge where we are going to map out your growth strategy. So we're going to figure out, I'm going to walk you through 5 days of live trainings that I'm running. You'll also get the replays if you can't make it live and a workbook to be able to implement it. We're going to walk through 5 live trainings where we're going to go through the steps of how to design a business and a growth strategy that will be highly profitable, because this is your first key to being able to create wealth, is having a business that not only makes really great money and grows consistently, but also doesn't drain you and that is aligned with the vision you have for your life. So that's what we're going to do in the Profit Plan Challenge. Go to the link in the show notes. You can get signed up. We're going to kick it off April 22nd. And this is also, the challenge is actually secret, the on-ramp or the first module to the High Profit Society. So the first module inside the society is going to be this challenge. So the creating your profit plan. So if you've been thinking about joining the High Profit Society, I highly recommend you get inside the challenge. And then when the doors open, you will be able to hit the ground running, because the goal for the Profit Plan Challenge is for you to map out exactly what you need to focus on. So understanding, like, what are the gaps that I have in my overall business strategy, from lead generation to sales to client delivery, systems, team? What are the things that you need to focus on implementing? And I have got a training for basically every single thing that you could possibly need, in addition to all of my money trainings that will help you figure out, okay, now I'm making money, what do I do with it? That is all already in the High Profit Society content portal. I've been working on that over the last few weeks, getting it ready to go. And also every single month, we are going to do a new training on a new topic. And so if you get inside as a founding member of the society, one of the perks is that you get priority in telling me what you want to learn about next. So we're going to have a new monthly training every single month and a Q&A call. We're also kicking off another challenge. I hesitate to keep saying the word challenge, but I'm not super creative. So in the month of May, we're also going to be doing a group, kind of a group activity. We're going to be implementing the pieces that you need to create a 5-figure baseline revenue in your business so that you can be more consistently profitable. There are going to be so many things inside this community that I'm just really excited to put out there. So first step, get yourself in the challenge, get on the waitlist for the High Profit Society so that you can get dibs on the founding member spaces and some of those bonuses. And the challenge will be kicking off in a few days. So hopefully I'll see you in just a few days. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Listening and learning is great, but implementing what you learned is even better. So what's one thing you can do this week to make more money in your business, save for your financial future, and start living your most prosperous life? If you found this episode helpful, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts and share with a friend, because it helps me reach more amazing female entrepreneurs like yourself. See you in next week's episode.